So today we have Vaishnava Diksha, and I'm going to explain what that is. But before, I'm going to talk about the mantra he just chanted, which is really important insofar as how it relates to Vaishnava Diksha. Om pavitra pavitra va sarva vashtam gatopi va yaksmaret pundurik kaksham savaya vyantara shuchi shri vishnu shri vishnu shri vishnu. So most of you, I think, don't understand Sanskrit, right? So I'll translate it. The translation is, whether one is pure or impure, om pavitra pavitra va, or va means or in Sanskrit, sarvavastam gatopi va, it doesn't matter where one comes from, yaksmaret, if one remembers pundarik aksham. Pundarik aksham, of course, refers to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And aksham, pundarik aksham, means one who has like lotus eyes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is called Bhagawan. And he's called Bhagawan for many different reasons, but as far as the reason pertaining to this particular mantra, it means he's very beautiful, most beautiful. So that's pundarik aksham, svaya vyantara shuchi. Then if one remembers him, one becomes clean. Shuchi, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. And Sri Vishnu means basically offering respects to Vishnu and Lakshmi. Lakshmi, of course, is the feminine counterpart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Vishnu is the male counterpart. So in the Krishna consciousness movement, we have male aspect of the Absolute and female aspect of the Absolute. So we are not sexist or racist or any of those is. We are open to everybody. So what does that mean, becoming purified? Does that mean that one doesn't have to take a bath? No. That would be pretty easy. You just say, Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, when you get up in the morning. It doesn't work like that. So what it means is that the purification of the heart, and actually what's called the linga sharira, the subtle body of the person. We all have a subtle body, which is, some of you may recognize the term astral body. It's made of mind, intelligence, and ego. And this subtle body carries our particular mentality from one gross body, that means this thing, earth, water, fire, air, ether, the thing you can see. It carries the mentality from one lifetime to another, just like the air carries a flavor or aroma. So that's the subtle body. So this subtle body has become quite dirty. That's why it needs to be cleaned. Why has it become dirty? Because we have many lifetimes in this world, and each and every lifetime we're coming in touch with what's called the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And these things get us dirty. Just like if you go out and you don't take a bath for about a week, you get pretty dirty and smelly, not so nice. And so in the same way, we've gone out for many lifetimes and we haven't taken a bath. It's called Atmasnapanam. That's also from the Shikshashika written by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a bath of the self. We give baths to the external body, but we don't give baths to the self. So, because it's gotten so dirty, and the repercussions or byproducts of coming in contact with the modes of nature are called lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. These are things we don't want. In Sanskrit, they're called anarthas or anarthas. So in order to cleanse the heart and come to the mode of a goodness, pure goodness, we require a process. But because the heart has become so dirty with so many impressions over so many lifetimes, it's kind of hard to clean. Just like Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, gave an example. If you have a piece of coal, and you try to clean a piece of coal, you simply get yourself dirty. You can put it in the shower, you can put it in the washing machine, and you'll just get all your clothes dirty if you do that. So it's very hard. So it requires a mala. Of course, that's Hindi for garlands. Anyway, thought I was in India. So it requires some super cleaning power. So the super cleaning power is present with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And so that super cleaning power becomes manifest by, as described in this particular shloka, verse, Yaksmaret Pundarikaksham, remembering Krishna. That's all you got to do. Now, how do you remember Krishna? In this day and age, we have a very simple process. It's called Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nisteva, 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 Gati Ranjita, which means simply chant Krishna's names. Because by chanting Krishna's name, or names, Krishna becomes present. He's personally there. And he cleanses the heart. Riyantaksto yavadrani vidunoti saritsatam. Krishna's in our hearts. And by chanting his name, he becomes present and he cleanses the heart. And when you cleanse the heart, guess what happens? You get in the mode of goodness, the pure mode of goodness, and the symptom of that is that one becomes happy. Garland for everybody. The symptom of that is you become happy because everybody wants to be happy. And in this world, there are many different things that interfere with our happiness, like miseries from other living entities, miseries from your own body and mind, and miseries from the material nature. It's either too hot, too cold. Someone likes me, someone doesn't like me. I got a headache. I got a stomach ache. I mean, I don't right now. It's not a problem with me. But maybe later. So, these, you can't predict. Isn't it? If something's going to go wrong, it will go wrong. That's a law of nature. So, therefore, by cleansing the heart, you can become happy in any circumstance. No matter what the circumstance is, you can become happy. And you can realize the Supreme Absolute Krishna. And that's the chanting of the Lord's holy names. So getting to the initiation program today, we are giving two types of initiation. One type is called Harinama initiation. And the other one is called Brahman initiation. So Harinama means the initiation into the chanting of Krishna's names. Of course, you don't have to wait for initiation to chant Krishna's names. Krishna's names are available for everyone. However, if one wants to make more and more progress in spiritual life, the chanting of Krishna's names and taking initiation is essential. Because in order to chant Krishna's names perfectly, one requires guidance. Guidance in chanting and in something we call sadhana. Sadhana means the practice of bhakti yoga. That's what we're here doing. Bhakti yoga means the yoga of love. They say yoga of love, you know. Where's all the boys and girls? They're not sitting together. Anyway, so so, but it's the yoga of loving Krishna, God, and at the same time loving everybody. And real love means something different than the love in this world, where the love, in many cases, is like a business arrangement. Business arrangement means you do this for me, I'll do that for you. And if you don't do this for me, I'm out of here. That's the love in this world. But real love for Krishna, real love for everyone, means that one is willing to do whatever is required for the person's benefit or for Krishna's benefit, and not thinking of anything for oneself. Now, that appears really tough, right? Can't think about yourself. Oh, my God. But it's the best thing for yourself, because you are part and parcel of Krishna, and Krishna's in your heart. And the best thing you can do for him is serve him, and the best thing you can do for everyone else is to serve them, too. But you have to know how to serve people, and you have to know how to serve Krishna. That's the benefit of having a spiritual master. Just like before I took up Krishna consciousness in 1862. Nobody caught that joke. I mean, I'm just trying to see if everyone's listening. I said 1862. I didn't say 1962. I said 1862. Nobody said, oh, must be a mistake. So sometimes I'm going to slip in some things just to see if you're listening. So the first time I took up Krishna consciousness, before that, I didn't know how to serve people or how to serve God. You know, someone said, you got to serve God. Okay, what do we got to do? I don't know. You can do anything you want as long as you love him. You know, that's what I used to hear. And some of the religious instruction I got before I came to Krishna consciousness, I was told, just love God. It doesn't matter what you do. Just love him. And I said, that's kind of weird. How can you love someone if you don't know what they want you to do? It's just like if someone's married and he says to his wife, you know, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And she says, can you get something from me? He says, no, I'm too busy loving you. Because if you love someone, you have to know what they want. And so the spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada, who is the ultimate siksha guru, instructing guru for everybody in the Krishna conscious movement, tells us what Krishna wants, what Krishna likes. For example, in the Gita, Krishna describes patram pashpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati, the things he likes to eat. Krishna doesn't say, you know, please offer me a little fish, a little, what else, lobster, with love and devotion. He says, you know, offer me vegetarian food with love and devotion. That's what he says. So you know what he likes to eat. You know, if you're going to serve someone, you got to know what they like to eat. But you may say, well, how can God eat? You know, he's all the way up there. But he likes certain things. God is a person. Krishna is a person. And he has likes and dislikes. And he doesn't eat meat, fish, or eggs. And he doesn't smoke marijuana either, as far as I know. And so you offer Krishna what he wants. And what does Krishna like, too? He likes people to chant his name. Just like any of us, if someone chants our name, we become very happy. Right? Isn't it? You chant your name. Gadadhar, Gadadhar, Gadadhar. Anybody who's a salesman or a sales lady knows that if you want to sell something to someone, what do? You remember their name. I remember I walked into a car dealership once, and this person hadn't seen me for 15 years. And he says, oh, Mr. Swami, it's so good to see you. And how's the Swami family doing? I said, there's no Swami, I'm a sannyasi. Because he didn't understand what I was talking about. So you chant someone's name. Krishna likes it when you chant his name, and he knows what he likes it when you hear about him, you read about him. And that's bhakti yoga right there, to do it. That's why we need a spiritual master. So we have to know what Krishna likes. And we also have to know if we love everybody else. There's an interesting verse in the Vedic literatures that says if you love Krishna, you'll love everybody. Because we're all connected. We're all brothers. We're all sisters. In the Christian tradition, you have St. Francis of Assisi, who understood that everyone was brother and sister. All living entities were brothers and sisters. And so, how do you deal with people? You know, you have to know what's the best thing for a person. Just like if you're a doctor, you have to know what's the best thing for your patient. You don't want to be taken care of in medically by someone who doesn't know medicine. So we don't want to be taken care of spiritually by someone who doesn't know spirituality. So for these reasons, we need the training of a spiritual master. The spiritual master is not like a mundane boss who just tells you, you know, what to invest in the stock market or what. Cyber currency, you know, cryptocurrency. Spiritual master guides you in the process of sadhana. What's the process of sadhana? Practice. Because in order to love Krishna, then there needs some practice. Although it's natural. Because by practice, what is inside wakens up automatically. It's like when you wake up in the morning, you remember gradually who you are. And for some people, it's more gradual than other people. Isn't it? I've seen people, you wake up in the morning, where am I? What's my name? So, anyway, the process of Krishna consciousness is waking up. And that's under the guidance of the spiritual master. So he tells you how to perform sadhana. So certain things, as far as performing sadhana, are what to do, what not to do. And one of the things we don't do is we don't commit offenses against Krishna's names, because Krishna's present in his names. And I'll mention the 10 offenses, because we have one devotee, taking Harinam initiation. We don't blaspheme or criticize devotees who have dedicated their lives to spreading Krishna consciousness. Now this is not a problem here. I don't think anyone's a demigod worshiper. Any demigod worshippers here? No. No, you don't worship demigods, Vasudev? Oh, here's a demigod worshiper. He has deities of Durga and Shiva and Ganesh. Who else? Kali. Oh, yeah, Kali. He does Kali Puja. All right, Durga primarily. Okay. So, if you consider the names of the demigods to be equal to or independent of Vishnu's names or Krishna's names, that's an offense. The names of the demigods, I'll describe what demigods are, because some of you may not understand. Demigods are people like you and me who assist God, assist Krishna. They're his cabinet, his secretaries. So one shouldn't think the secretary is the same as the prime minister, right? That would be a mistake. So the next offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Of course, one should not follow the spiritual master's direction blindly, but has a right to inquire. And Krishna himself says that in the Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprachnena sevaya. So, and then the next offense after that is to blaspheme literatures which glorify God, or literatures in the pursuance of the Vedic version. Next offense is to consider the chanting to be imagination. Next offense after that, going through quickly, is to give some mundane interpretation of Krishna's name. But there's actually a spiritual interpretation of Krishna's name. The word Krish means to attract. Krishna is the most attractive person. And Na means two things. Actually means more, but for this purpose of this discussion, it means two things. One thing is to negate all your suffering in this world. That's pretty nice. And Na also means, it's short for Ananda, or happiness, what we call bliss. Bliss means unlimited happiness. So that's a real interpretation of Krishna's name. And then another offense, or let's say a precaution when you're chanting Krishna's name, is don't use Krishna's name or don't continue committing sinful activities in the name of Krishna and think that you can keep getting rid of bad karma. Karma means basically the results for things you do in this world. You know, sometimes something happens to someone and you just say, that's your karma, buddy. Isn't it? You ever say that? Yeah, you say that. That's your karma. Well, when you chant, you get rid of the karma. But if you think you can go on doing any damn thing and chanting right after, let's say drinking liquor, a toast. So, anyway, that's an inside joke. So let's say you're drinking, you're making a toast to Krishna. Cheers. So, Happy New Year or whatever. Drinking liquor is very bad. I'll describe the four regulated principles in a second. But, so let's say you do something that causes bad karma or bad results. You can't just get out of it by keep chanting Hare Krishna. It just doesn't work like that. And the next one is to consider chanting like a ritual. We have so many rituals, just like we're doing a fire sacrifice here. And another ritual is we wear these clothes, saffron clothes. These are rituals, which may or may not be applied according to time, place, and circumstance. Like some places in India, you'll find people with big tilak on their foreheads. In other places, you'll find people with a little tilak. In other places, you'll find people with tilak as the mark on the forehead. You'll find people with a dot, a red dot in the middle of their forehead. These are all relative things. But the holy name is not one of those rituals. It's completely transcendental. And then the ninth thing that we should avoid is instructing people who don't have the capacity or mentality to understand the instructions about the holy name, or people who are going to make, let's say, offenses against the holy name. And then finally, one should try to be giving up attachments to things that are dragging one down in this world as one's chanting. And if you don't try, you know, that's not so good. And then ultimately, you have to be attentive while chanting the holy names. So these are the 10 precautions that we usually talk about in initiation. In addition, I mentioned I would talk about the four regulated principles. Maybe I'll mention them real quickly so you don't get upset. No meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. Okay, we got that over with. I don't want to discourage anyone here. Oh, the reason we have these four regulative principles, which are things that are near and dear to everybody in modern society. I mean, how can you live without drinking? How can you live without eating meat? I mean, how can you... Yeah, anyway, we'll go through the other ones. Without marijuana, how can you live without these things? So, the reason we have these restrictions is because these things are connected to the mode of ignorance. And they drag your consciousness down. You won't be happy. We want you all to be happy. And in addition, they give you bad karma. Bad karma means that in the future, something's going to happen. And we don't want to describe all the things that may happen to you. You don't want to scare you too much. Bad karma means you may have an automobile accident, you may have legal problems, you may have health problems, really bad stuff, financial problems. That's bad karma stuff. So you want to avoid these things? I mean, nobody likes to have health problems, financial problems, automobile accidents, people arguing with them. So avoid bad karma. So that's another reason for following the four regulative principles, just to get rid of the bad karma. Okay, and so then one who takes initiation is promising to chant a certain amount of Hare Krishna rounds every day. That's 16 rounds on the beads. And the initiation itself signifies that one is accepting the process of Krishna consciousness and the spiritual goal as one's life's goal, as one's mission statement in life. Most important thing. And everything else is done in coordination with that. So that's first initiation. And there's promises and vows that will be made, and you all see that. And second initiation means Brahman initiation. Brahman is someone who is absorbed in Brahman. That's the literal definition of someone who's a Brahman, not a ritualistic person who does different sacrifices. So someone who's absorbed in Brahman is absorbed in either the impersonal Brahman, the energy of God, which is like his effulgence, or the personal manifestation of God called Paramatma in everyone's heart, or the personal activities of the Supreme Brahman, that's Krishna, in the spiritual world. So we are talking, we are Krishna conscious here. So we are not teaching people to meditate on the impersonal aspect of the Lord. If you want to learn about that, go somewhere else. And we are not teaching yoga here to meditate on the Paramatma. No, we're teaching bhakti yoga. And if you want to learn hatha yoga, I can recommend some really good devotees who teach hatha yoga. I have one disciple. His name is Gokul Chandra. He knows more exercises than anyone in the world. Anyone's heard of him before? Look him up. Google him after this class. What? Instagram. He's on Instagram, Facebook, and everything. If you're interested in hatha yoga, contact him. He does 3,000 different yogic exercises that are impossible. Right now he's in Sweden teaching. He has different schools all over the world. So, but if you're interested in bhakti yoga, here you are. The yoga of devotion. So, Brahman means someone who's absorbed in loving Krishna. And the manifestation of the qualities that person has are mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And I'll go over that list real quickly. First I'll give you the Sanskrit and then the English translation. Sama. He's equipoised, he or she, because Brahmins, ladies can take Brahman initiation too, ladies, men. They are equipoised. Equipoised means they're equal in happiness, distress. You can yell at them and they won't get angry with you. Try it. No, don't try it. That's a Brahman test. If you want to have a real Brahman test, you yell at them and see if they get angry. That's a real Brahman test. So, don't do it because you'll be committing offenses against Vaishnavas. So they're sama and dhamma. They're self-controlled. They don't eat too much, eat too little, sleep too much, sleep too little. They're moderate, achahara. They're moderate in everything. Sama dhamma tapa. And they're, let us say, not austere in a material sense, but they accept things on the basis of what pleases Krishna and reject things on the basis of what doesn't please Krishna. And they're clean. Clean outside, and we mentioned before, they're clean in the heart. By Om Pavitra Pavitrava Saravashtam Katopiva Yaksmarat Pundarikaksham Savaya Avyanturaha. By remembering Krishna and chanting Krishna's names. And they're clean outside by, you know, keeping their cloth clean, bathing regularly, and all that other nice stuff. So that's a Brahman, Shocham. And they're tolerant. They're honest. They always tell the truth. Shantirajubhayavacha. And they study regularly literature that helps them in spiritual life, like Vedic literature, are... knowledge is based upon the Vedas, which are very ancient literatures that come from India. And these Vedas have been passed down in disciplic succession from one spiritual master to another to another. First with Krishna. Krishna teaches the first person in disciplic succession. That's Brahma, all the way down to the present day and age. And of course, Srila Prabhupada is the most prominent manifestation in the present day and age. And we are representing Prabhupada. And as we mentioned before, Prabhupada is the ultimate shiksha or guidance in the Krishna consciousness movement. Although we are giving initiation, still we're connecting people with Prabhupada. And the person taking initiation, of course, is the disciple of the person giving initiation. But the connection with Prabhupada is most important. Remember that. So, jnana viganam, and then studying and practicing what you study. And so these are some of the qualities of those who are Brahmins. And that means they're in the mode of goodness. They're saints. They're ministers. They're preachers. This is a Brahmin. And so that's a great responsibility. They're representatives of Krishna consciousness. So basically we talked about the purpose of initiation. And ultimately if one perfects their spiritual life, then at the end of this life, instead of taking another birth, they go back to the spiritual world. Or they continue serving Krishna in this world. And in this endeavor, even if they don't perfect their spirituality, they take up from where they left off in the last life. Krishna in the Gita says, Swapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato vayat. In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution. So if you become 1% Krishna conscious, then next life, start from that, 2%, 3%, and you build it up. Just like all of you who are here today, even if you aren't initiated, even if it's the first time you've come here, we've started your Krishna consciousness. So ultimately, you are all going back to Godhead. Everybody in this room. Pretty good, isn't it? Because you've heard the holy name. Whether you like it or not. So, no, you will like it. You don't go someplace where you don't like. You don't say, why am I in the spiritual world? Oh my God. There's no mobile phones here. No. What is that? Samsung S10 pluses here. No computers, no good cars. Anyway, so, no, you'll like it. Because it's Sachit Ananda. It's full of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. That's the spiritual world. I mean, I want to be happy. I want to live forever. And basically, I want eternity, bliss, and I want to know things. I want to know a lot more than I know today. And in the spiritual world, you don't need Google. You know it automatically. Nowadays, you say, if you want to know something, just Google it. Like I just said about Gokul Chandra. It's called Gokul Yoga. That's what you want to Google. Gokul Yoga. So, on that happy note, we'll continue with the process of initiation. And I'm giving one devotee first initiation today. Right? Right? Now, your name for me is hard to pronounce. It's Zdravko. How do you pronounce it?
Zdravko.
Zdravko. You don't pronounce the Z before it? It's a healthy name. Healthy man. So be healthy in Krishna consciousness. So what you should do is offer obeisances. If you can go back to Prabhupada, offer obeisances to Prabhupada, offer obeisances to the deities. And deities are closed, of course. And then we'll give you your beads and you'll get your spiritual name. He has very, very special beads here with the Hare Krishna mantra written on them. Wow. I've never seen beads like this before. It's pretty nice, isn't it? It's a way to remember Krishna. So Krishna's there in his holy names. And we should always remember that and always be chanting. Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniya Siddhahari. And as long as we chant, we're always connected with Krishna and we never suffer. And next time you're in a position where you're suffering, guess what? Just start chanting. It'll solve all your problems. Just take a long walk, chant the holy name, and the material world will go away. Okay? Then you can offer obeisances to my not-so-humble self. Everybody says, it's interesting, the devotees have this expression, please accept my humble obeisances. You know, sit down. Please accept my humble obeisances. And I was always thinking, why do devotees say that? They're saying I'm humble? No, actually, it means something else. Please accept my obeisances mean that my obeisances or myself is very low. So it's a way of saying, I want to be humble. So we ask you what are the four regulative principles? And you want to do it in English or Slovenian? Slovenian, okay. Okay, sounds good to me. Even though I didn't understand it. So, but I sort of picked up on it. So, how many rounds every day do you chant? 16, you said, right? And it's good to, if you're able to, chant more on Ekadashi. Ekadashi is a special day, for those who don't know. It comes every 2 weeks. And it's on the 11th day, sorry. The 11th day of the moon cycle. That's why it's called Ekadashi. It's the 11th day of the full moon, from the full moon and the new moon, the waning or the waxing moon. And so it's an important day to remember Krishna. And on that day, we don't eat beans or grains, but you can eat everything else. No need to fast completely on Ekadashi. Actually, Prabhupada never fasted completely on Ekadashi. Prabhupada had us make special Ekadashi feasts. I remember being with Prabhupada. Prabhupada was not into physical austerities. One time, the devotees tried to get Prabhupada to eat very, very simply, and Prabhupada said, "Let the starvation committee go to hell." So Prabhupada liked to eat prasadam. Prasadam, of course, is food offered to Krishna, and it purifies as part of the process of sanana bhakti. So, all right, so you get the beads with your right hand, and I'm going to give you, your name is written here, so, right hand. So your name now is Doyal Chandra Das. Doyal Chandra Das. So I'll explain, here's your feedback. So, Doya means compassion. You understand? Like Jiva Doya. And Chandra means the moon. And that moon refers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most munificent, Namo Mahavadanaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gaur Senamaha. He's the most merciful because he's giving away love of God freely to everyone, not asking any price. And so Lord Chaitanya is considered the moon, like the rising moon. And so Doyal means the compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Doyal Chandra means the compassion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's nice. Nice name, isn't it?
For him special.
Yes, and he's very compassionate. He's dedicating his life to taking care of other Vaishnavas. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhavananda Roy, of course, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has two main teachings. His two main teachings are Jiva Doya and Nama Ruchi. You understand? Jiva Doya, Nama Ruchi. Jiva Doya means compassion for everyone. Animals, plants, human beings, of course. We don't want to leave them out. And Namaruchi means a taste for the holy name. So the secret to have a taste for the holy name is Jiva Doya. And one of the best types of Jiva Doya, or compassion for others you can have, is Vaishnava Seva. So you are serving the Vaishnavas. And I'm very happy, pleased, ecstatic to hear about your service to the Vaishnavas. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So now we'll continue with the other portion. Yes. And, oh yeah, we got to give you a Brahman thread. Do we have one?
Yes.
Forgot all about that. This thread, I still have to chant on the thread. So maybe you do some of the preliminary rituals.
Yes.
And then while I'm chanting on the thread. So this thread signifies when one wears the thread, it signifies that one has taken second initiation or Brahman initiation. And it doesn't mean that one's a Brahman. Because as we mentioned before, to be a Brahman, you have to have certain qualities. But it's like a sign that, you know, maybe one day you'll be a Brahman. No, it's a sign that you've taken initiation and you're aspiring to be a Brahman. Because Brahman means quality, not simply this. This doesn't cost that much. Doesn't make you a Brahmin. I mean, I could put it on everybody, but it doesn't make a difference. Even there was one character who definitely wasn't a pure Brahmin. His name was Ravan. He wore Brahmin thread, too. So don't be like... Ravan actually, I hate to say, but he used to eat people. He was a what we call Rakshasa, man-eater, and he wore a Brahmin thread. So don't take this as the all-in-all and think that now I've achieved perfection. You become Narayan. No, becoming a Brahmin. No. Okay, so all glories to Srila Prabhupada, so continue, and I will chant on this and then give it to him while you're doing the ritual.